mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 33 says, "No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love." I read that a great preacher from another denomination, he wrote, "The strongest fighters melt like snowflakes when God is against them." The United States of America has been blessed with a great and powerful military force. Yet Americans must understand that the Lord is not on the side of those who have the greatest generals or the largest armies. His eyes watch out for those who look to him as Lord, and who fully understand that victory only comes from him through Jesus Christ. So today, Armed Forces Sunday, is a time set aside to recognize members of the armed forces that are currently serving and those who have served veterans. In 1947, the Armed Forces of the United States were united under one department, which was renamed the Department of Defense in 1949. President Harry S. Truman supported the creation of the day we celebrated yesterday for the nation to unite in support and recognition of our military members and their families. And I, having served as a member of these very armed forces, stand quite proud on just such a day. But the Word of God is chock full of examples of armies and great and mighty warriors. In 1 Chronicles chapter 11, we read of King David's mighty men. There were the 30 warriors who protected David and fought in battles for the people of God. The Bible lists David's mighty warriors in 1 Chronicles chapter 11. And in the battle against the Philistines, Scripture says they struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought about a great victory. Even back in Genesis chapter 14, we read of Abram taking 318 soldiers to fight the four kings who took Lot captive. After the defeat of the kings and the rescue of Lot and his possessions, we read of Melchizedek, a high priest, saying, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of the heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." Also in the book of Joshua, we read, "So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his army, including all the best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you.'" And then I tell you about even the good Martin Luther wrote about wars and those fighting them. As he remarked, he said this. He said, "Let the saying remain true. God scatters the people who delight in war." God confirms all this with many excellent examples in the Scriptures. He had his people first offer peace to the kingdoms of the Amorites and Canaanites, and would not permit his people to start a war with them. He thereby confirmed this as his principle. But when those kingdoms started the war and forced God's people to defend themselves, they were completely destroyed. Self-defense is a proper ground for fighting, and therefore all self-defense shall go unpunished. And he who kills another in self-defense is innocent in the eyes of all men. But when the people of Israel wanted to start an unnecessary war with the Canaanites, the Israelites were defeated. The book of Numbers, chapter 14. So, let us celebrate with joy this day, honoring those called by God who now serve and those who have served among this nation's finest fighting men and women upon this earth. Let's support them, and may they be strengthened in this time of concern and anxiety. And let us pray that the Lord may help families with men and women in the armed forces. Let's help them cope with daily challenges in the absence of their loved ones. Let us also pray for our brothers and sisters as they go forth with courage and determination to face the forces of violence, weapons of destruction, and hearts filled with hate. The men and women of the military put their lives in danger for the sake of their country, their brothers in arms, and against other human beings. The battle our Lord Jesus Christ waged was against something far more powerful and devastating. The ultimate victory was not simply the taking of some important hilltop or a body of water or even one country over another, but one which secured our very souls, the victory over the power of the devil and of sin in our lives, and ultimately the victory over death itself. In that victory, the sacrifice made by Jesus Christ inspired those who witnessed it and ever heard about it. In his first letter, the Apostle Peter encouraged his readers with the lessons he learned from Jesus. From 1 Peter chapter 3, we read, "But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." And the clearest, most dynamic example of how Christ's life and death and resurrection inspired his people is the fact that you and I are gathered here today. We gather to sing hymns. We gather to hear the word of God. We offer up our prayers of praise and thanksgiving, and we gather to encourage one another in the faith. And we gather for our hope for the kingdom of heaven. In our gospel lesson today, our Lord speaks the parable of the 10 virgins. You know the story, don't you? 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. 5 were ready to greet the bridegroom when he came, and 5 were unprepared when the wedding feast began. And our Lord bestows this ominous verse. He says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." But this wedding feast, is the kingdom of heaven. Clearly, the message of our gospel is those prepared for the second coming of our Lord, that great and glorious day. That day we know not when it will occur, but that by being baptized, being of faith in Jesus Christ and the one true God, those will be the ones given entrance into the kingdom of heaven. It's just so true. That is our hope. That is our faith. Not everyone will be spared up to the new heaven and the new earth. Jesus has told us many times that there will be there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But by the sweet grace of God, you and I, we will share in His glory on that great and glorious day. It's a glory that even I at one time thought not possible for me. A glorified moment to come, I at more than one time in my life never thought that it was meant for me. You see, I have served many a day as an armed instrument of our nation's might. I myself, I've gone into places many dare not travel because of the bombs and the bullets that are flying. I did so as I felt it my honor to serve this great nation, and as a responsibility, not as being called by God, but perhaps for selfish reasons. I thought myself foolish at times, not taking any oil for my lamp. And yes, as having served in hostile areas during a period of war, I even looked to others who bowed their heads and read from Holy Scripture. And without opening my mouth, with just a look of desperation on my face, I could not ask them for any oil for my own lamp. Which was that. What I thought then was elusive, faith. So my hope, no, my prayer for all of you is to honor those courageous who have put their life on the line, called by God to the vocation of soldier, a mighty and fierce warrior for the people of God. Those who may unwittingly fall asleep as the bridegroom approaches, yet built up in the faith to have their lamps trimmed well with oil. For Jesus Christ, our Lord, is coming once again. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.